I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Here, Bird Show.
All right, we've got leftover questions from our live show at City Winery last week that we will get to in 1 second, but Kristen has to share cuteness. You have to share cuteness. Start the show with cuteness.
Well, Cassie and I are both going to share cuteness because, you know, we're basically parallel moms right now. Like, her little girl Hazel is going into kindergarten. My little man Jimmy is going into pre-K. They're only a year apart. And so Cassie had orientation for Hazel. So I asked her, I'm like, oh my God, like, how did orientation go?
And it was awesome. She's so excited. The classroom is so cute. Like, it's the perfect kindergarten classroom when you walk in. And I just want to say a testament to the Clear the List thing we're doing. Those extra decorations, and there's a little quiet corner, and there are books, and there are signs, and all these things really do make the classroom. They change it from this like cell block room into this warm, welcoming environment. It's so important. So getting to see that and see Hazel so excited where she was going to sit in her little cubby, like, it just brings back all the like back to school excitement for me, like when I was a kid too.
So Jimmy has been at the most precious preschool, which I can share now because he's no longer there, but I was keeping that close to the vest because, you know, I didn't want to share where my kid was going to school. But he went to St. James Preschool at St. James Methodist Church. And he thrived there. They were phenomenal. We absolutely loved it. All the teachers were incredible. And the different Miss Garden and Miss Music and Miss Library, like, they were just all fantastic. But we got into the public school lottery, and he's going to be going to a public school preschool this year. So he's going to be changing schools. And I, hands down, I'm more nervous than he is. Like, I know we say kids are resilient, and he has no problem making friends. He's going to do fine. He's going to be great. He's going to thrive. Me, not so much, but whatever. So I've been trying to do little things to get him, get him excited and keep him pumped. So last night I gave him his new backpack and his new lunchbox for school, right? Because he needed a bigger backpack so the folders can fit in there. And hi, I'm Kristen. I'm extra. The lunchbox has to match the backpack. Duh. So I had to get that. The Mickey Mouse one isn't going to cut it anymore. And so I had it set up in his room last night for when we went upstairs for our bedtime routine. And I'm holding him, and we walked in, and he goes, "What the heck?" And he goes, "Mama, what is that?" I'm like, "Jimmy, that must be your new backpack and lunchbox for school for when you start on Monday." And he's over, and it's a backpack that's got dinosaurs all over it and like volcanoes and stuff like that, because, you know, he's all about the dinos. And he's like, "Oh, I gotta try it on." And so he's trying it on. And then he's like, "Mama, this is the backpack I've always wanted." And he gives the backpack a hug, and then he gives me a hug. I'm gushing right now, and as mom should. He's just the sweetest and like the most grateful kid. So he gives his backpack a hug, and then he gives me a hug. And so again, I'm just trying to like set the tone. And then of course, my husband being my husband, he's like, "Are we gonna get him a new one every year?" And I'm like, No.
Such a father's take, man.
Oh my God. Random. But I started, this is passive aggressive. I acknowledge it. But whenever I get a text from Chad that's a comment like that, I put in quotations and write what he should have said. And I send a gift that says, fixed it. And 9 times out of 10, it gets an apology.
You know what? I really like that tactic, and I might steal it from you.
I wouldn't recommend that long term.
Long term, maybe not. No. But you can get away with it for a couple of weeks.
And I'm like, no, he's going to have it all throughout kindergarten, and then we'll get it when he's like, because just for this transition, right, for a new school, I'm like, when he goes to middle school, we'll get a new one. When he goes to high school, we'll get a new one, because I don't think he's going to be rocking the dinosaur backpack in middle school, but whatever.
Right. And those are anxiety-inducing. Like, this is just the first one. Yes. Celebrate it. Yes. So you turn that anxiety into celebration. Maybe it makes it easier. I get it.
Exactly. So we have our orientation today, like Cassie did yesterday. So we're going to go. He's going to see the school for the first time today. He's going to get to meet his teacher. They're going to do popsicles on the playground. So it's just like these cute little fun events, you know, to
lessen
the anxiety of starting pre-K.
It's a great way to go, man.
Probably more again for the parents than the kids.
Yeah, for sure. Not even close, actually. All right, Tommy. So these are questions that were left over when we did our live show at City Winery last week. We asked those that came in, hey, do you guys want to do an AMA and ask us anything? And go ahead and write your questions on cards and we'll answer them on stage. Obviously, we had time constraints, so we didn't get to them all. So we got some left over.
Yep. And we asked the audience to direct these towards either of you. And this particular first question, which goes in pretty hard, doesn't really list a person, but I'm thinking maybe Bert. Is your name on the Epstein list?
What?
I was like, rude. Very rude. Maybe funny, but rude. No, my name is not, but interestingly enough.
Where is this going?
This is an interesting butt.
Interestingly enough, I used to hang with a group, and the main person in this group had access to a private jet. I do not believe it was his, but he had access to it. And I went with him on a trip to the Bahamas. That trip had been, or that that plane had been to Epstein Island. So there is only a connection there that my name is on a plane that went to that island, but that's it.
But you didn't take that plane to that island.
Good God, no.
Yeah. I just wanted to like reiterate because some people don't fully listen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, so if like anybody was doing like a deep dive, like if the FBI or somebody was doing a deep dive in all of the planes that went to that island and who was on those planes, my name would somehow, some way be in the thousands of people on planes that have been to that island.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
I was not expecting that. That was just kind of a joke question to start things out.
Yikes.
All right. Any Burt Show member, if your partner had to describe your bedroom skills only using a movie title, what would your movie title be?
The first one. No, that's so stupid. First one that came to mind, which is not true, was Big Daddy.
Oh my God, that came to mind too.
You have got Adam Sandler on the brain.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. I can't get, the whole country has him on the brain right now.
Okay, that would describe how we are in bed or our sex life in general?
Describe your bedroom skills.
My bedroom skills.
Okay, I got mine. Lost in translation.
Mine's similar. It's probably Les Miserables.
Oh my gosh, I'm struggling with this one. Because I'm like, no movies are coming to mind right now. Only the one, Dazed and Confused.
Cass, you want in on this?
I Am Legend.
Okay.
For the win.
Okay.
All right, Bert.
Yeah.
I don't even remember you saying anything like this. Give us a one-word hint about the nose story you don't want to tell.
Inexperienced.
There you go.
All right, and on the back of the card, it says, Bert, go ahead and tell us the nose story.
No.
That won't happen.
All right. Kristen, this is kind of sweet. What trait does Jimmy have that reminds you the most of Bart, and is that a good thing?
There's several traits. Okay, so there is a physical trait, and then I'll also try to do like a personality, right? So the physical trait is, it's so cute, and he did it the other day when we went to the pet store to say hi to the fishes. Bart stands with his hand bent, his wrist bent, and his like hand on his hip. Mm-hmm. And that's how he stands. It's weird. It's not like you put your hand and you cup your hip. You have to take your hand and then flip it all the way back and then prop it up on your hip. Jimmy stands the exact same way.
That's so cute.
And sometimes he'll do it with both hands, but Bart always does it with one hand. And I caught him like saying hi to the turtle, and he had his hand like, and he was just standing there like that. I'm like, my God, your father stands just like that. So it's super cute.
I just thought, as a sidebar, referring to pooping as say hi to the turtle is pretty funny.
Kristen, your goal in life moving forward should be getting a picture from behind of Bart and Jimmy doing pose side by side.
If I can, I have pictures of Jimmy doing it, but I don't have a picture of both of them.
All right, Abby, describe your perfect man, but no physical traits are allowed.
Okay, for me, the perfect man is a good mix of being charismatic, ambitious, and really, really patient.
And tall.
Well, you said no physical attributes.
Oh, okay. It's basically you're hoping for this guy in Indianapolis on the blind date.
Oh, my God. No, I'm anybody, literally anywhere, which is why I'm willing to fly to Indianapolis. But anywhere, wherever he is, I'm ready.
I love those adjectives, though. So charismatic.
Mm-hmm. I love a guy with a good personality. Yes. Believe it or not, I find that to be more important than the physical.
Okay.
Ambitious, because I don't want to date no loser.
Yep.
And patient, because I feel like you need to be able to suffer well through life together. And I think patience is a virtue I don't have. So if he could have it, that would be great.
So I'm injecting you with truth serum right now.
Oh my God.
A guy meets all of those checks, all those boxes, except he's 5'5".
But he's 5'5"? But does he have a lethal face card?
What does that mean? Like so hot that, like the dude on Love Island? The short guy that everybody loves so much? Yeah, sure. He's a great looking guy, but he's 5'5".
Yeah, I'm willing to go for that.
Okay. I'm willing to downgrade.
Out of my stack of questions, I have three good ones left. You want to do all three quickly or me pick one?
Let's save them for later on in the show, and we can do all three.
Okay.
How's that?
It's the Burt Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The girls are fighting. And by girls, I mean two of the biggest professional athletes in all of America. And I'm talking about Scottie Scheffler and Tom Brady, because it seems like Tom Brady might have thrown the world's number one golfer, Scottie Scheffler, a little bit of shade in his most recent newsletter. So this all has to do with a press conference that Scottie Scheffler did. And if you've never heard of Scottie Scheffler, he's really, really good at his job. So he's doing this press conference and he's making it very clear that his number one priority isn't golf. It's actually his family.
But at the end of the day, it's like, this is not a fulfilling life. And all of a sudden you get to number one in the world and then they're like, what's the point? Why do I want to win this tournament so bad? Because If I win, it's going to be awesome for about 2 minutes. If my golf ever started affecting my home life or it ever affected the relationship I have with my wife or with my son, you know, that's going to be the last day that I play out here for a living. You know, this is not the be all end all. This is not the most important thing in my life. And that's why I wrestle with, why is this so important to me? Because, you know, I would much rather be a great father than I would be a great golfer.
I love what he has to say. I do want to do one small correction, though, because he's no longer known as the greatest golfer. He's known as the star of Happy Gilmore 2.
Right. Oh. Right. It all ties back.
Yes, of course.
Adam Sandler, somehow, some way.
He's Adam Sandler's co-star.
So what did Tom Brady say to that? The guy that was the GOAT but also had his family torn apart because basically he was so committed to his craft.
Yeah, for context, he's divorced to Giselle, who he has both of his children with. And so obviously, you know, that heartfelt statement comes out from Scottie Scheffler. And then Tom Brady has a weekly newsletter that he puts out, and he decides to make a public comment about Scottie Scheffler's press conference. And he basically questioned his thought process. He said, why are those mutually exclusive? Talking about being a good father and a good athlete. Why are those mutually exclusive? Being great at your job and being great at home are connected. Being dedicated and disciplined at work can make you a better husband and father.
Okay, so this is the same conversation and debate that Kristen and, and I have had for years and years and years. Is wanting to have it all. And I think Tom is wrong. And his lifestyle and his life is good proof of that, right? Look, there has to be some kind of balance going on there. And you have to ask yourself what the priority is. And I think this entire conversation is so American, because if you look at different countries and if you travel, you realize that this is never even a debate. Family first, no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it depends what your priorities are. Clearly, Tom Brady wanted to be the GOAT. And we have heard over the years, I think Giselle said it also, she didn't want him to come out of retirement. She wanted him to, like, not play the last couple of years. She wanted her family together. He made a decision, you know, because his job is not just about the football season. It's about training. It's about setting up for it. So there's a lot of time away from your family. His priority was to be the GOAT, which he ended up being. But then you got to look at your family life, man. So he made a choice.
He did. And I think this is also too, I mean, I can get how he felt. I can understand how he felt personally attacked by that statement. But you also have to remember that statement wasn't about him.
Mm-hmm.
That's he made that statement about him. That statement that Scottie Scheffler made was about his personal beliefs and choices and how he feels about being a professional athlete and a father. And I think from a just a logical common sense standpoint, if you have a high pressure job, or it's not even a job, if you have a high pressure career, right, whether it's in sports or media, entertainment, you're going to have more time away from your kids. That's just inevitable, whether it's for travel, et cetera. So can you still be a great parent? Yes. But can you be like the absolute best parent? No, because time is going to be taken away from your kids to focus on your career. So that's why I've always struggled with, like, you know, can you have it all? I think you can be very, very content, and I think you can be fulfilled. But as far as like having it all in every arena of your life, man, I'd be hard pressed to find somebody who has accomplished that. And if you did, you need to write a book ASAP and share every freaking secret that you have.
Everybody has struggled with
Give us the how-to manual. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because in this newsletter, he basically says that it's important to show your kids what it takes to pursue that kind of excellence. Mm-hmm. And I think he means it from a good standpoint. Yeah. Like this is what it's going to take if you want to be the best. But I think you're also showing your kids like how little of a balanced life you're going to be able to have if you, like, it almost might backfire in a way. Like, they see how all-consuming it is to be the quote unquote GOAT, that they might be like, yeah, I'm really good with being average.
Do you know how, I mean, my career and his career are two completely on different zip codes, different planets. But when I look back at my career and I think of all the donuts and dads that I didn't get to go to because they were at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, or some of the stuff that I missed also because dad had to be in bed early or he had to be at an event. And I look back at it and I'm like, dang, man, that's time I could never have back, you know?
And I think when you're talking about someone like Tom Brady, too, you have to look at being the GOAT and having football define your life like that. Like, at some point, not to speak on his behalf, but that's who you are. So walking away from a core component of who you are and what you've invested your life in, I can't even imagine that kind of decision. Now, I know we're talking about your kids, so for me, it's a no-brainer, but I've never been in that position where I have to walk away from the thing that defined me for my entire life. I'm sure he gets a lot of self-confidence from that in the mirror because he's hot, but still, like, you know what I mean? So abandoning, it would feel like abandoning one of your core personality traits, mm-hmm. and who you are, and how do you walk away from that?
Do you know the amount of times that I drove my kids to school in the morning when they were going to school? Was probably twice, probably once each, because of this job, you know? Mm. So you make a choice. Look, I've had an amazing career, but looking back at it, that's a part I can never have back. And those are the things you got to balance out when you're making those decisions, you know?
Would you have done anything differently?
I don't know. Ask me in a year. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really do mourn that I miss that, but I have, you know, on the other hand, I've been able to provide so many experiences that they had in other ways too. But is there anything more important than spending that time with your kids? And they didn't get that.
Mm-hmm. There's give and take with everything. Yep. Like, yeah, sure, Tom Brady might not be at donuts with dad, but they're also vacationing on a yacht. So I don't really feel that bad for them.
This is The Burt Show.
Kristen is desperate, but wondering if the same kind of anxiety and want that she needs right now is the same as how guys handle it.
Yeah, so this thought popped into my head. I am in desperate need of a girls' weekend, right? When we talk about life balance and can you have it all, one place where I'm lagging in my personal life is maintaining my friendships with my girlfriends. And I just got to spend the afternoon with a dear friend, and it feeds my soul. Like, it is necessary. I am so excited to have brunch with another girlfriend. Dude, we live in the same city, but we are both so busy. It's been months since we've seen each other. And we finally were like, we are putting something on the calendar. We are having brunch. Mm-hmm. We are doing this. And so far, so good. Like, nothing's happened yet that it needs to get canceled. And so I'm sitting here wondering, I'm like, do dudes feel the same way about their guy friends? Like, you have this just insatiable need to be in their presence and to no men, no kids, just one-on-one time with your girlies, right?
Nope.
Because I got this like ball rolling in my head. John B. Christ on Instagram has this portion of his stand-up, which is about women needing to get away. And this is kind of what got that ball rolling. Like, yeah, man, we do. Like, we're really adamant about that. But I can't ever remember one time my husband needing or wanting the same thing.
Notice that women are always trying to get away. They're always trying to get away, aren't they? Women, y'all, where are y'all going? You're always trying to, we need a night, we need a trip, we need a weekend. Where are y'all going? We've had a tough week. It's Tuesday. What's going on at the house? Women love getting away. Fellas, have you ever wanted to get away? Fellas, never. My buddy's like, John, you want to go on a men's only camping trip? I was like, no. There's no women there. There's no pillowcases, no sheets. But women, y'all can, dude, you can't even say the word women's retreat and it's already sold out. Just women's retreat, sold out.
I don't know that my opinion is entirely fair and very good representation of guys. Because I know plenty of guys that want to go with their dudes. We want to go to Vegas. They want to go hunting. They just want it to be guy. This weekend, I am going to Bristol to watch the Braves with my best friend, one of my best friends, Joel.
Saturdays are for the boys.
Saturdays are for the boys. Are they though? Because Amanda was supposed to go and backed out. So my backup plan was Joel, and I'm glad it's happening. But do I need time away with guys? Not really. I can do that in a dinner. but certainly not like an entire, that's just me. I need my time away by myself, but with other guys, not necessarily.
Cause like I literally spent the entire afternoon with Brittany the other day, and we still didn't get to everything. Like, there's so much to download when you have like this huge swath of time in between being able to like have a conversation. And it's so hard to have a conversation these days between work and a young kid, because for whatever reason, when you get on the phone, the kid's like, Mom, Mom.
Just like, I told Amanda the other day, you need to change your name for 1 week so he can't say mom.
You know, there was a woman online who got one of those counter clickers and clicked it every time she heard the word mom, and it was like over 100 by the time it was like 10 a.m. Low-key want to do that.
See, I think your relationships are so much different in that when you go away for the weekend, you are really going to get intimate with your girlfriends. You guys are going to talk about everything. You're talk about everything that's going on in your life. Talk about feelings. Talk about this. Talk about what's going on in the world. Dudes are silent. We get together with each other. Joel and I will watch this baseball game. We will say four things to each other probably in the 9 innings. We'll hang out. We'll go drinking before the game and after the game. Not a lot of dialogue. No. We're just in each other's presence.
And for my girls' trip, if we don't end up on the bathroom floor drunk crying, it wasn't a good girl trip.
I wonder too, so I don't think I crave it as much, but when I do it, I leave and I'm like, oh my God, I did not realize how much I needed that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that happened. Is that similar for dudes? Like after your hangout session, you're like, man, I'm really glad that happened. Like I didn't realize that filled something in me.
I will tell you this, that I can get that in an hour or two with my dudes. And I think that maybe is why a lot of guys play golf together also. Mm. Maybe you need that 4 hours together while you're playing a sport. You're still kicking back and drinking beers, yet you are like touching upon business and things that are going on in your life. So I don't know that I'm a good representation for a conversation like this.
I almost wonder if it's a generational thing, because I was out for a walk yesterday and I witnessed the most beautiful act of boyhood ever. I was out for a walk and the park that I walk at has a golf course. And so there's always guys that are leaving in big groups where they're in their big buddy groups. And there were these two guys that I passed yesterday, and one of them was getting in their car and the other was like, love you, man. Drive safe. So I almost wonder if Gen Z and like the younger millennials, the men are a little bit more not feminine in how they act, but maybe they have more close relationships because they're more comfortable expressing vulnerability.
I need to know what part of the city that was in, because I have hunches.
No, I'm telling you, if I was going to make an observation based off of vibes and stereotypes, those look like two straight boys who were hitting golf balls together and they were just saying, love you, man. Drive safe.
I do feel like the younger generation, and this is not to slam boomers or even older Gen X, I do feel the newer generation, younger generation rather, is a little more emotionally intelligent, a little more in touch and in tune with their emotions.
Yes, and they can share those with each other online and in texts rather than face-to-face. Because that's what the younger generation does.
Except for the guys at the golf course.
I shed a tear.
I will absolutely tell Joel this weekend that I love him at some point. And when I leave, when I'm in San Diego or John's here, we'll say I love you to each other quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only guy.
Drive safe.
That's it. And drive safe.
Don't forget that one.
This is The Burt Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
I literally was outraged, man. Literally outraged when I got this DM the other day. And you talk about feeding into the cliche that I hate the most, which is no good deed goes unpunished. This is it right here. And I was just talking to Tommy about it, and unknowingly to me, this happens every year. Tommy has just shielded me from this kind of frustration every year. I had no idea. So just to set the ground here, if you're a new listener, we do this Clear My Wish List every year for teachers. On average, I just did a quick Google search. On average, teachers spend anywhere between $500 and $800 of their own money on school supplies.
I feel like teachers probably get the bare necessities they need for their classrooms, but of course, they want to make their classrooms as welcoming an environment for their kiddos as possible. So I applaud teachers that they go above and beyond with the decorations and, you know, getting snacks for the kids, especially these Title I schools, the kids that may, you know, be coming to school on an empty stomach and be hungry. And because, you know, you're going to learn better if you have a full stomach. And so doing little things like that, I think these teachers, it's extra effort that is needed and appreciated.
And just my opinion here, I don't feel like our country is very kind to the education system in this country. So there are some teachers that have called us up and said, $800, I'll spend $1,500 for just the reason Kristen's talking about. Not only supplies, but I got to feed my kids. They can't focus on what I'm saying if they don't have any food in their system. So teachers go above and beyond. So each and every year, we do Clear My Wish List. Teacher hits us up, tells us about her school, brags about her kids, and then says, hey, Burt Show, if you can help us out in any way, shape, or form, here's my wish list this year. Can you please tell your Burt Show family about it? We do. More often than not, the next day we come in here, we've got excited teachers saying, thank you so much. I didn't have the money to do this. My kids are taken care of. Burt Show, you guys rock. Same thing we did this year, right? So I get a DM from a Burt Show listener a few days ago, and she's so excited, right? So excited. But there's going to be a plot twist to it. Good morning. I just wanted to thank you guys for clearing the wish list for teachers every year. I'm not a teacher, but I told my friend about it, and she left a voicemail for you guys. She called me screaming because they were going to be on the Burt Show, which she was, right? She's so excited to have had the opportunity for her kids. This will help her so much since she just doesn't have the money to provide for the kids, right? So she must have sent back-to-back texts within a couple of hours of each other. And I'm not always on Instagram, so I don't see them immediately in real time. So sometimes I'll see them after a few hours. So before I even got to that first one, the second one comes in and it literally is in all cap letters, says, plot twists. My friend was immediately called into the principal's office once her voicemail played on the Burt Show. The principal said she broke county policies by accepting quote unquote monetary donations from listeners, which isn't even accurate. She was told she'd have to return all the supplies donated.
Are you kidding?
No.
My friend dug in pleading that this would only hurt the students. She was immediately told this was an infraction that would go in her file.
Are you kidding me?
Says she even writes, can you believe this? She said her principal said the biggest offense was using the name of the school, the county they were in, and the fact that they're a Title I school.
Oh, if you're embarrassed by that, maybe you should do a better job securing funding for your classrooms. Who's the principal? Drop her name. That's his name.
That is public knowledge. Oh, believe me, Cassie, I had a conversation with the teacher.
I don't want to get the teacher in any way, shape, or form in trouble.
But I was so angry, and I had all these thoughts in my head. I was ready to go to the school board. I had full on a presentation in my head between myself and the school board going back and forth. I was so incensed.
So this is not the first time that this has happened though, Tom? You came in here and you said, oh no, this is
not the
first.
It literally happens every year with at least one teacher.
Why the rule for the counties?
It's stupid. You know what? This is what's wrong with public schools.
And maybe we could have a teacher call up and explain it to us, or a principal, 1-855-BURT-SHOW.
Folks, use some common sense.
Yeah, it must suck to work for a principal who's so dumb.
Schools don't have, you know, the administration, they don't have any problem having their teachers pay out of their pocket for things. But when they're given an opportunity, and all of those teachers have the same opportunity, they can listen to the Burt Show, they can enter, they can be picked. They were just one of thousands that enter this thing that we happen to pick. And it just drives me nuts that schools tie teachers' hands from getting things that will ultimately help the students.
And they don't have an advocate in their boss, the principal, who becomes their enemy rather than supporting their own staff. I hope that principal has the worst day of their life.
I hope they have the worst week of their life.
The principal, I hope you had the same kind of 3 years of Cassie's had.
And I know what the principal, the principal's going to say, oh, it's not fair. They're going to get a bunch of free stuff and nobody gets anything else. Like I said, everybody's got a shot at this thing. All the teachers. We wish we could help all of them. And we try and help as many as we can. And we try and touch as many children's lives as we can. But use some dang common sense.
So, I mean, I Googled, why can teachers not accept money for classroom supplies? And I have an AI overview, but you have Lauren, who's a teacher on the line that could probably offer some insight that's better than what I just got from Google.
And then we're going to help another teacher in a second. Hey, Lauren. Hey, Lauren, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yes, so Title I schools receive money from the state for, you know, different kinds of learning materials, whatever, for your teachers. So when teachers, you know, ask for things that clearly we need and we don't have, you know, the funds for, and Title I money really will not cover all of that, it, quote unquote, looks bad on the state for not being able to provide that amount of money to help as many teachers as, you know, truly need that money. And it's really more for the students.
I still don't understand the reasoning behind it.
It makes the state look bad.
Yeah, it's like,
well, the state is bad. Pony up the cash, Georgia.
So, as far as
not even sure that this came from Georgia.
No, I'm not. By the way. You're right. But I have no doubt it's happening here.
So as far as the
I'm so angry.
You're just swinging. Go ahead.
As far as the AI overview of why can teachers not accept money for classroom supplies, the list includes potential for favoritism and undue influence. Accepting money can create the perception, even if unintended, that a teacher might offer preferential treatment to students. Conflict of interest, accepting gifts, especially monetary ones, could create a conflict of interest that may compromise a teacher's professional judgment or decisions regarding students, according to Georgia's Code of Ethics for Educators, because this is where we're located. Ethical concerns and boundaries. Establishing clear boundaries around gifts and donations helps maintain the integrity of the teacher-student. That doesn't apply here.
This all sounds like a student-teacher reputation. Like, they're not going to accept donations from students. Where it's like, yes, if it's just coming from people on the internet or people listening to the show, I don't see how this is a conflict of interest at all. We're just trying to shower these teachers with literally the bare necessities.
And I suppose they look at it the same way. If they're getting goods donated, that's also a monetary. I mean, it's not cash, but I guess that's, I'm just trying to see some kind of angle that makes some kind of sense, and it doesn't.
There isn't, because you should be able to look at the situation and see it's like a crowdsourcing thing. Could you imagine being the evil kind of person who's the principal of a Title I school with low income families and being like, nah, I don't care that the community is trying to help out these kids. F them kids. Send it all back. You're an awful person. I'm so angry.
If anything, the principal should embrace it and promote it with teachers and say, hey, this radio show is doing this wonderful thing. Everybody should be entering this.
Okay, so let's get some angles from the other side. Because, you know, for people that aren't within the industry, this makes absolutely no sense at all. So I would like at least an explanation from those in the industry that can explain
to us how taking things from kids
is
good.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I am on your side.
I'm all about doing some gathering of facts. Let's try to just try to get to like the nut of why this is a big deal.
No facts! Just react with emotions and anger, Kristen.
I would hate to be Hazel's principal.
Her principal is a lovely person.
Huh? Hey, Paul, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. You are a president of an elementary school.
Yes, I'm the president of Statham Elementary School. By the way, Burt, P1 listener, love you guys since I moved here in 19. My son is a third grader, and if a teacher has to return the donations, the teacher should be able to donate them to the PTO or PTA of the school to then allow them to be dispersed, because the PTO can accept donations. We just gave out over $750 of donations at the open house yesterday for our school. We are a Title I school. The art classroom had no markers this year. We gave over 1,000 markers to the art classroom.
Kudos.
So, from donations. An anonymous donator, we created an Amazon wish list, and we didn't get it filled, but we got quite a few things knocked off. So there are ways for the teachers to I don't want to say circumvent the system, but circumvent the system. They just have to be creative.
Hey, Paul, I love you.
Thank you, Paul.
I love you with all my heart.
You're a good person.
You sound awesome. Yeah. But that's really good information that you sent. You said in the very beginning. So if they have to give it back, you're saying give it to the PTA. PTA can donate it?
Yes.
Correct, because that is what they're there for. They're there to collect funds and materials and then give it back to the school.
Beautiful.
It is the correct organization when the government bureaucracy kicks in.
I love that so much. So I want teachers to hear that, because Tommy is saying this is happening every year, that if you get crap from the principal or whatever, go to the PTA, they'll take them, they'll distribute them. And that's the way it's done.
And that was one of the examples of what to do instead of giving, you know, gifts to teachers, because the PTO and PTA is set up for that as far as like collecting goods. And then it says here they can allocate more transparently and equitably to the classrooms.
Okay. So we're not here to get anybody in trouble, but we're going to help another teacher out. And if you do get in trouble, now you know, go to the PTA. Let's help another teacher clear her wish list.
Teachers, need help with your classroom needs? Let the Burt Show fan help clear your wish list.
This really is maddening. I'm having a hard time focusing on the words here because it's so maddening.
Why didn't that principal suggest that? Does she not or he not know their own school well enough? Maybe they shouldn't have that job. I don't know. Maybe they should care about the kids at their school and support their teachers. I'm going to turn off my mic now.
All right, let's hope Adrian White doesn't get in trouble here. She is a kindergarten teacher at David C. Barrow Elementary in Athens, which is Clark County. She's adopting her former student, which is expensive. She's adopting her former student, you guys. So she needs your help clearing her wish list.
Hey, Burt Show fam. I'm Adrian, a teacher at David C. Barrow Elementary School in Clark County, Georgia. I teach kindergarten, where the crayons are broken, the glue sticks are dry, and the funding has left the building. Literally. Federal funding has been cut and withheld this year, and we are definitely feeling it. I teach at a Title I school where most of my students come in with giant hearts but tiny backpacks because they don't have the supplies they need to start strong. And while I normally play the role of Miss Frizzle with a credit card, this year's a little different. I'm in the process of adopting a former student of mine, my boy. He asked me to be his forever mom. Cue the tears. And cue the paperwork, the legal fees, and a whole new kind of grocery store run. Do boys ever stop eating? Becoming his mama has been the biggest blessing of my life, but it's also meant stretching our finances to make room for both love and Legos. So clearing my list would be a total game changer, not just for me, but for 20 little humans who deserve a classroom that feels magical, stocked, and full of possibility. It would mean building a classroom that feels like a family, a place where every child is seen, valued, and supported, where we celebrate differences, meet kids where they are, and close gaps with the right tools in our hands. I had a student last year that came in not speaking at all. She spoke three languages. None of them were English, so she shut down. And while she started the year in silence, with the help of vocabulary building tools, picture puppets, and a whole bunch of fidgets, she found her voice and her confidence. These kids are bright, resilient, and hilarious. They just need someone to believe in them. And hey, maybe even a working pair of headphones. So help me give them a fresh start that they deserve, and hopefully save my wallet from spontaneous combustion in the process. Thanks, y'all.
You guys, she's you talk sweet. About a teacher that has her heart in the right place. She's adopting her former student. I mean, come on.
Because he asked her to be her forever.
Yeah, so she needs some help with her classroom. We're hoping you guys can help out. We've got the wish list up right now at theburtshow.com. Again, that's Adrian White. Cassie, why are you crying?
I just am so incensed. I think this teacher who's that's the kind of person who is a teacher. She is adopting a former student. That's the kind of relationship these teachers have. When someone chooses to go into education, they're the type of person who cares so much about the community and the future of these kids' lives. They dedicate their life to doing it. And to have these teachers, one, have to pay out of their own pocket is ridiculous. But two, to have teachers, especially ones working at Title I schools, go out of their way to try and figure out ways to make those kids' lives better through their own monetary means or additional work, getting community support. And to have a principal not support that in some way and have that teacher get in trouble for that. And it just really deflates me because, you know, there's only so much we can do. We can't control the government. We can't change the education budget. But as a community, we can support other people and teachers. And then to be told, no, you can't even do that. It is deflating. So we're supposed to sit here and watch kids from struggling families not get extra support at school. Because why? Because of some random rule? A good principal would figure out a way to make it work. And the fact that this teacher who was fighting for her kids, the type of teachers who would adopt their students, their former students, to give them better homes. These are the type of people that we're helping. And for them to not get support from their own workplace just kills me. And it makes me so sad. And it makes me feel so hopeless for them and for the country. And I realize that's very dramatic. And I'm sure my tears are because other stuff is going on in my life. And this is a great outlet for it. But I'm just like, God, these teachers, they're underpaid. They pay out of pocket for these kids. They stock snacks in their classroom because the kids can't afford lunch at some of these schools. These teachers are caregivers, and it's no shade on the parents. People just can't afford stuff because of the way everything is set up, and it kills me that the community is here trying to support these teachers in their lifelong dream to help others, and the community is being blocked from doing that, and that just enrages me so much. And I love rules. Y'all know I love rules. But some rules are made to be broken, and this is one of them.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
We'll be right back.